It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Revelation. We're going to begin the 13th chapter today. So Revelation chapter 13. So please, if you can, open your Bibles to that. And if not, why, please just carefully listen. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check out our website, it's Parkview Bible Church, parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to send us an email, that would be parkviewbible@gmail.com, and that's parkviewbible@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. We're going to begin reading now with Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth was as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Let's prepare now for the study by going to the Lord in prayer, asking him to guide and lead us. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this precious time. I just ask that you would guide and lead us. There is so many different directions and so much here to understand. Some is beyond our understanding. We will know and understand when we get home with you. And only will we be able to come home to you when we have finished this life, if we know you as our Savior, if we have called upon you and trusted in you, believe that the cross of Calvary is where you died and took our sins away. Please, dear Lord, give us the faith, understand, believe, and follow after you. Now, Father, thank you today that we have this opportunity to come together and study your precious word. Just guide and lead us now and touch every heart. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This 13th chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name blasphemy. Now, John kind of changes positions here just a little bit. And as we begin now, we find that John's eyes were focused on the sky. Things were happening in the atmosphere just above the earth. War between Michael and his angels and the dragon and his angels. I stood upon the sand of the sea. And it's kind of saying, I now stand upon the sand of the sea. John's view moves from the heavenlies to the earth. And he stood upon the sands of the sea. Now, if you're ready, because the Word of God is to that point, we're ready for the next program. John, Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, we see John on the Isle of Patmos. In the fourth chapter, verse 1, we see John caught up into the heavens. Here in the 13th chapter, we see him standing on the sands of the sea. In the 17th chapter, we will see him standing in the wilderness. And chapter 21, verse 10, he takes his place on the high mountain. You know, it appears by what we've just said that John has sure got a good place of view, doesn't he? He had the best view of all. As we look now at the sands, and he stood upon the sand of the sea. The sand of the sea represents a multitude of people. That's what that stands for there. Abraham had the same words. His seed was as the sand of the sea, as the stars in the sky. And so you see, we have that same connection here. Scripture confirms Scripture. Revelation 20, verse 8. And let's take a minute to turn there. Revelation chapter 20, the 8th verse. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. You see, we don't just pull these definitions, these meanings out of the air. Scripture confirms Scripture. God's army is referred to in a number that is called the sands of the sea. The sea in the Word of God always represents unrest and toil. Let's take a look now at the beast. We found where he was standing. Now the next comment, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Let's go to Daniel, and we're going to be in Daniel in a couple of verses today. Daniel chapter 10. Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. 14th verse. Daniel chapter 10, verse 14. And I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. We're going to take a look at who this beast is. What shall befall the people in latter days? Right now, we are in the latter days. Revelation chapter 13 here, we are dealing with the things that shall come to pass in the last half of the 70th week of Daniel's 70 weeks, okay? That's what we're looking at here. The last half of the 70th week of Daniel's 70 weeks. Daniel chapter 7, and I hope you kept your hand at Daniel. I kept my hand back in Revelation, also in Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verse 3. And four great beasts come up from the sea, diverse one from the other. Four beasts came up out of the sea. These four beasts in Daniel, these four represent successive forms of power, of specific Gentile power. It begins with Babylon, the lion. As we look at verse 7, chapter 7, verse 4, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. That is the lion. That stands for Nebuchadnezzar's empire, or Babylon. Next, in verse 5, this four-headed beast that we're looking at here in Daniel, and behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. That is a second beast, that's the bear, stands for the Medes and Persians. Next is verse 6 of chapter 7. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given it. Now, we have looked at Babylon and the Medes and Persians. Now we're looking at Greece. These are four successive forms of Gentile power. And we have history of this. This is what it's speaking of here in Daniel chapter 7. Very, very clear. And we're going to see this all fulfilled. Now let's look at verse 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and beheld a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. 10 horns. So, we have now the Roman Empire. So first we have Babylon or Nebuchadnezzar. Second, we find the Medes and the Persians. Third, we have Greece. Fourth, now we have Rome, and it had 10 horns. Rome fell in 476 A.D. Since that time, she has really been no power at all, no threat to anyone. But she will rise up again, become a world power under the leadership of Antichrist. This will all take place after the rapture. Christians are not looking for the revival of Rome, or at least we shouldn't be, for the Antichrist will be here at that time. We should be looking for the return of Christ, not for the Antichrist. At least, we should be. After the rapture, this superhuman beast will work miracles that will make the Roman Empire great once again. And this is going to happen in a very, very short time. Let's go back now to the 13th chapter of Revelation. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, upon all these multitudes of people, the sea of unrest and unsteadiness. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Let's look at 7 things about this first beast. He is said to have power, a throne, authority. He has authority over tribes, tongues, and nations. He will be a potential world dictator. He will be a monster. He is nothing but short of wild and rules in terror. His reign will last approximately 7 years, with a 42-month period of terror during the last half of that 7 years. Though his government will be under 10 kings, remember the 10 horns here. Though his government will be under 10 kings, the 10 horns, he will be supreme. He is the world's master blasphemer. Of all that have ever been before him, he will be the master, the worst of the worst. None could touch the hem of his garment when it comes to blasphemy. Revelation 13:1 tells us, the beast rises up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. That will be his name. These 10 horns, 10 kingdoms, 10 crowns. We have more of a description in this verse. John saw the beast like unto a leopard, a bear, and a lion. Now, the leopard is in verse 2, and the bear is in verse 2, the lion is in verse 2. Do you remember back, and I hope you kept your hand in Daniel, we're going to go back to Daniel 7:4 is the lion, 7:5 is the bear, 7:6 is the leopard. Now, if you'll notice here in Revelation, they are listed opposite of that. Because in Revelation 13:2, it says first the leopard, then the bear, then the lion. Daniel chapter 7 saw these same three beasts, but it was in reverse again. The lion, which is gold, we're going to continue to add to this story here. The lion stands for the gold. And the bear stands for silver. The leopard stands for brass. Let's go back in Daniel. Again, I'm sorry, I should have told you to hold your hand there, because the book of Daniel really opens up our eyes to Revelation. We have the leopard, the bear, and the lion. A leopard, the feet like a bear, mouth like a lion. We have the same list in Daniel, only it's listed backwards. But let's go to Daniel chapter 2. If we go to Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to go to the verse 31. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms silver, his belly and his thighs brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron, part clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of a summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away, and that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Now we're going to stop there just for a minute, because there was a dream given. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, but he couldn't remember it. So he asked for the soothsayers and the fortune tellers and all those to tell me what the dream is, or explain the dream to me. And they all said, tell me the dream, and I'll give you the definition of that. I'll tell you what it meant. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar says, I can't. I don't remember the dream. So you're going to have to tell me the dream and the interpretation. Well, none could. And so in Nebuchadnezzar's way and rule, why they were put to death. But Daniel said, I can tell you, my God can tell you. It wasn't that I could tell you, but my God can tell you. And if we see very carefully, he went into the king, and they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon, because that's what was going to happen here in verse 18 of chapter 2. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And so we find that God revealed it to him. And then Daniel goes to the king, and he declares that my God has told me this dream and the interpretation. So now we've had the dream in verse 31 down through verse 35. Now in verse 36 it says, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Verse 37, thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, and the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee rule over them all. Thou art the head of gold. Verse 39. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over the earth. And so now we have come through the gold, the silver, and the brass. When we connect now with Daniel chapter 7, with Daniel chapter 2, we find that the gold, like a lion, silver, like a bear, brass, like a leopard. And so Daniel chapter 7, verse 4 is Daniel chapter 2, verse 37, 38, Babylon. Daniel chapter 5, chapter 7, verse 5, silver, like a bear, is Daniel chapter 2, verse 39, the Medes and the Persians. Daniel chapter 7, verse 6, like a leopard. In Daniel 2:39, it's Greece. We have one more. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Let's turn back there. And we went to 7, chapter 7, verse 7. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and had 10 horns. So you see, we've went through each one of these kingdoms, the Babylonians, the Medes and Persians, Greece, all those have been mighty world powers, and then Rome. And Rome, if we look at Daniel chapter 2, verses 40 through 43. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of strength of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. As the toes of the feet were part iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So we have Daniel with the iron is Rome in chapter 7, verse 7. And that's Daniel chapter 2, verses 40 through 43. But as we look on into verse 43, into those verses there, you see Daniel is looking forward. Because we not only had the iron, which was Rome, and Rome has fallen, but we have the upbringing now of iron and clay, the iron and clay feet. Why is John saying leopard, bear, lion, and Daniel saying lion, bear, leopard? And again, we've made the connection with gold, silver, and bronze and brass. The reason it's turned is because John is looking backwards. Daniel was looking forwards. Daniel was looking at Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was ruling then. They would be destroyed by the Medes and Persians. They would be destroyed by Greece. They would be destroyed by Rome. And so each one. Now, but you see, John, he's looking from the other direction. Daniel looked forwards. John looks back. And so now this reversed Roman Empire has the characteristics of the three preceding empires. So we have one great monster. One great monster. The dragon gave him his power, his seat, his great authority. This beast is the devil incarnate when it comes to the power that he will possess. Once again, let's read verses 1 and 2, chapter 13 of Revelation. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet likened to a bear, his mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. You see why I'm saying that as this last power rises up, and it'll be a ten kingdom confederacy, but there'll be one ruler, and that ruler is a mixture of the lion, the bear, and the leopard. And so it is just a mixture of the three empires. If you would take the wickedness from each one of those empires, Nebuchadnezzar was a very wicked leader. The Medes and the Persians, they weren't quite as nasty. They were the ones that turned Israel back to go back to Israel, to back into the nation. However, up until from the time that they were taken out under Nebuchadnezzar's rule, and then even though they returned, they didn't receive their land back. Israel, the Jews, did not take possession of their land until 1948. 1948 is how long they were in the land part of that time, but they did not own the land. My dear friend, we're seeing a lot of things going on. And I have to ask you a very simple and very plain question. And that is, what are you going to do about Jesus?